Good morning.
Good morning.
Welcome back. It's good to have everybody here in worship once again. I should probably introduce myself. I'm Pastor Don Frelitz. I'm your new pastor here at Christ. I've been here for about a month, and many of you I haven't had the opportunity to meet yet. Excuse me. Nerves. It is good for us to gather once again in public worship, to come and be here together so that not only can we worship our Savior, but so that we can be mutually edified together, so we can build one another up. And today of all days is a day to do that. Not only because we've come together once again for the first time, but because it is Pentecost Sunday. As our loving God sends His Holy Spirit to fill the hearts of His people, to kindle in us that fire for His love, to make it so that we know we are the ones now who go out with the message of our Savior and proclaim His Word. How fitting it is today on Pentecost, then, that for our worship today we use the gathering rite upon God's Word. It's printed for you if you have a physical bulletin. If not, the responses will be here on the screen. And in the midst of this opening liturgy is also our opening hymn. Would you please stand? In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Oh, how I love your law. Your commands make me wiser than all my enemies. I have more insight than all my teachers. How sweet are your words to my taste. All Scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness. Yet, so often we have despised God's Word and failed to gladly hear and learn it. For this and all our sins, we bow before God and humbly ask for His forgiveness. Holy and merciful Father, I confess that I am by nature sinful and that I have disobeyed You in my thoughts, words, and actions. I have done what is evil and failed to do what is good. For this I deserve your punishment, both now and in eternity. But I am truly sorry for my sins, and trusting in my Savior Jesus Christ, I pray, Lord, have mercy on me, a sinner. God gave His Word so that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in His name. The Scriptures testify about Jesus, who lived a perfect life for you, died on the cross to pay for all your sins, and rose again to assure you of your salvation. Therefore, as a called servant of Christ, and by His authority, I forgive you all your sins, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Let us pray. Holy Spirit, God and Lord, come to us this joyful day with your sevenfold gift of grace. Rekindle in our hearts the holy fire of your love, that in a true and living faith we may tell abroad the glory of our Savior Jesus Christ, who lives and reigns with you and the Father, one God, now and forever. Amen. Please be seated. Our first scripture lesson for today is taken from the Old Testament prophet Joel. It's chapter 2, verses 28 and 29, which also serves as the focus of our sermon devotion today. Here Joel prophesies the outpouring of the Spirit on the day of Pentecost, heralding the dawn of the New Testament church. We read from Joel chapter 2. After this, I will pour out my Spirit on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters will prophesy. Your old men will dream dreams. Your young men will see visions. Even on the servants, both male and female, I will pour out my spirit in those days. This is the word of our God. Our psalm of the day today is Psalm 51b. Our second scripture lesson for today is from Acts chapter 2, verses 1 through 21. In fulfillment of Jesus' promise and Joel's prophecy, the Holy Spirit comes upon the apostles and disciples in Jerusalem on that day of Pentecost. We read from Acts chapter 2. When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly a sound like the rushing of a violent wind came from heaven, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw divided tongues that were like fire resting on each one of them. They were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other languages, since the Spirit was giving them the ability to speak fluently. Now there were godly Jewish men from every nation under heaven living in Jerusalem. When this sound was heard, a crowd came together and was confused, because each one heard them speaking in his own language. They were completely baffled and said to each other, "Look, are not all of these men who are speaking Galileans? Then how is it that each of us hears them speaking in his own native language? Parthians, Medes, and Elamites, residents of Mesopotamia and Judea, Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and the parts of Libya around Cyrene, visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabs. We hear them declaring in our own languages the wonderful works of God." They were all amazed and perplexed. They kept saying to one another, "What does this mean?" But others mocked them and said, "They are all full of new wine." Then Peter stood up with the 11, raised his voice, and spoke loudly and clearly to them, "Men of Judea, and all you residents of Jerusalem, understand this, and listen closely to my words. These men are not drunk, as you suppose, for it is only the third hour of the day. On the contrary, this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. This is what God says will happen in the last days. I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days, and they will prophesy. I will show wonders in the sky above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and a rising cloud of smoke. The sun will be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the coming of the great and glorious day of the Lord. And this will happen. Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved." This is the word of our God. We speak together, if you would, the verse of the day. Alleluia. Come, Holy Spirit, fill the hearts of your faithful people and kindle in them the fire of your love. Alleluia. Please stand for the reading of the gospel. The holy gospel for this day, recorded in the book of John chapter 16 verses 5 through 11. On the night of his betrayal, the Lord Jesus promises the Holy Spirit to his disciples. We read from the gospel according to St. John. "But now I am going away to him who sent me, and not one of you asks me, 'Where are you going?' Yet, because I have told you these things, sorrow has filled your heart. Nevertheless, I am telling you the truth. It is good for you that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Counselor will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. When he comes, he will convict the world about sin, about righteousness, and about judgment. About sin, because they do not believe in me. About righteousness, because I am going to the Father, and you will no longer see me. About judgment, because the ruler of this world has been condemned." This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise be to you, O Christ. My dearest fellow pupils of God's prophecy, be honest with me. What's your opinion about all of the predictions of the end of the world that you have heard in your lifetime? There's been several of them. Maybe you remember a couple. In fact, here's the odd thing. To date, there is near 200 documented official predictions about when the end of the world will come. What time, what day, and how. Near 200. And those are just the ones that actually have been officially recorded. The most recent, there was one back in the end of 2019. Maybe you remember a few years ago, there was one that got a whole lot of media coverage. A lot of people began to put stock in it. And then the date kept getting pushed back. Now, I'm not here to tear anybody down for what they've said. That's not my point. That's not my purpose. I'm not going to ridicule someone because they got their prediction wrong. But it makes one wonder, does anybody actually have it right? Because for many of them, what they say they base their predictions on, how they know when that time is coming, is according to Scripture, according to God's Word. So does anybody have it right? Can anyone actually interpret what it is the Bible is saying well enough to be able to get a prophecy right today? I mean, we all know the prophets. They seemed to have it right, didn't they? Maybe they had a little bit of a leg up. God was speaking directly to them. But think about some of the prophets of the Old Testament. What they said would happen. You have prophets like Jeremiah. Jeremiah said that Jerusalem was going to be destroyed, that the people were going to be hauled off into captivity for 70 years. It happened just like he said it would. The prophet Isaiah, he says that the Messiah is going to come and will be born of a virgin. And so it was. The prophet Micah, that same Messiah will be born in Bethlehem of the line of David. And so it was. And then the prophet Zechariah, in what is almost startling detail, says that Messiah will be betrayed by those closest to him for the paltry sum of 30 silver pieces. We see it fulfilled in Judas. They got it right, didn't they? Then why can't someone get it right today? Maybe you're thinking to yourself, well, the problem is they had God speaking directly to them. But isn't that how we define a prophet? A prophet is someone who receives God's word and then goes out and speaks God's word to the people that they're supposed to speak to. That's really all a prophet is. They're just speaking for God. Can that happen today? It leads us to this question. Is there any present day prophecy? Now, Joel, who was the one that we looked at in our Old Testament lesson, our first lesson for today, was just as much of a prophet as all of the others. He just may not have been as well known. Sure, he doesn't garner as much attention as people like Isaiah and Jeremiah, the prophets that we seem to know a little bit better, but that doesn't mean that he was any less of a prophet. Joel said that the famine, that the plague of locusts that was absolutely destroying Israel and the area around was a foreshadowing of God's judgment. And he was right, because that's what God told him to say. But you know, the prophecy Joel is better known for is the one we have right here now. In fact, it was this prophecy that was the basis of Peter's first ever Pentecost sermon. Because he says it again in our second lesson. Let me read for you. This is what it says. After this, I will pour out my Spirit on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters will prophesy. Your old men will dream dreams. Your young men will see visions. Even on the servants, both male and female, I will pour out my Spirit in those days. This is what God had said would happen. It's what Joel prophesies about, that the day is coming. Now you have to figure, It was a pretty exclusive club to be one of God's Old Testament prophets. He didn't just choose anybody. It didn't happen to everybody. So if you could say that you had been handpicked by God to be His spokesperson, well, that was something special. What is Joel saying? Joel is saying that the day is coming when all people will do that. When everyone will have that same ability. When all will prophesy. When everyone gets to be a part of that special club. Well, that's pretty amazing, isn't it? We see the fulfillment of that today. It's the whole purpose of Pentecost, because that's what happens on Pentecost. That day, 50 days after Jesus rose from the dead, He sends the Holy Spirit and they fill the hearts of the people there in Jerusalem. You know that event. You know that account because you've heard it so many times. And now here, these people, these disciples of Jesus are filled with the ability to proclaim God's message. Many of them in languages that they had never learned, because that is what was necessary. But that doesn't really answer our original question, does it? Even though all of those disciples were able to proclaim the message, and keep in mind, it's not just the 11. The book of Acts says there were 120 disciples in Jerusalem that day, and they all were given this ability. But that doesn't really answer our question, because that was 2,000 years ago, and we want to know about prophecy right here today, don't we? But be reminded, what did we say a prophet was? How does the Bible define a prophet? It's someone who receives God's word and then proclaims it to those God has sent them to. Does anybody fit that bill? I think you understand where I'm going with this. You do. You do. You are the ones who have been called by God. You are the ones whom He has spoken to through His Holy Scriptures and now says, go out into the world and make disciples. Proclaim my message. Maybe we don't do it in the same way. Maybe He isn't going to all of a sudden enable you to speak in languages you've never learned. But that's not necessary now. We don't need that today. They needed it then. The only people who knew about Jesus were Galileans. How are they going to proclaim the message throughout the world if they can't speak to the world? But today, there are people in every tribe and nation who do know who Jesus is. But it doesn't diminish at all that this is what we have been called to do. We are the ones who know our Savior. You know very well that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. You know very well that it is Jesus who lived that perfect life and died that innocent death on a cross and then rose 3 days later so that you could be assured of your salvation and that you know heaven is yours. This is the heart and core of the gospel. You know it. And now you also know that God has said, now go and tell people about it. Because the only way that they will know is if you tell them. Is there any present-day prophecy? You better believe there is. And it's in your hands. How do you feel about that? Maybe you're not so excited about being God's prophet. It didn't always go well for them. Take a quick look in the Old Testament at the prophets and you'll find out they weren't exactly the most loved people. They were ridiculed. The people were hostile to them. They didn't have the easiest life. And maybe you say, I don't think I want this. I'll just ignore it. Well, there was another man who was called to be God's prophet who decided to ignore it and didn't go so well for him. He got swallowed by a fish. I don't recommend it. You are the one who has been called by God. You are the one who has everything you need. Because the Holy Spirit, just as much as those disciples on Pentecost, has filled your heart and your mind with everything you need to know in order to be His mouthpiece. And so now, our calling? Go out into the world and proclaim that message. This is why we're here again. It's why we've gathered together on this day. It's why we're so excited to be able to finally do it. Because It isn't just the place we go on Sunday morning. This is who we are. This is our lives. This is what we want to do and what we have to do with all of the gifts that God has given to us to proclaim that message of love throughout the world. I don't know what the future holds. I don't know what tomorrow will be like. And I certainly am not going to give you any predictions about the end of the world. It wouldn't come true anyway. No one will know the day or hour, he says. But here, I do know this. I do know the future in this regard. That God says His Word is powerful and effective. And that if you proclaim it, it will not return to Him empty, but will accomplish the reason you were sent. So go out and be prophets. Proclaim that message of God's grace to the world so that many more may know who their Savior is and the hope that they have. Amen. Please stand. Now may the peace of God that transcends all understanding keep our hearts and our minds focused on Christ Jesus. Amen. And now in response to God's Word, we join together to confess our Christian faith with the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, Maker of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, His only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day He rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From there He will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. We come now before the Lord in prayer. Holy Spirit of God, we worship and glorify You as the Lord and giver of all spiritual life. By Your own thinking and choosing, we would still be lost in our sin. By our own thinking and choosing, we would still be lost in sin, wandering in spiritual darkness toward eternal death. Only by Your gift of faith do we now confess that Jesus Christ is our Lord. Only by Your enlightenment do we know the loving heart of our Father in heaven and His promise of eternal life in Christ. With the Father and the Son, You are one God, one Lord. We thank You for fulfilling the word You gave by the prophets and the promise spoken by our Lord Jesus Christ. You came down on the day of Pentecost to guide and comfort the apostles, to lead them in all truth, and to reveal Your plan to save us. Extend Your church throughout the world by the words we speak and the messengers we send. We praise You for calling us by the gospel and making us sons and daughters of God by faith in Christ Jesus. By baptism, You clothed us in His righteousness. You gathered us into His flock, the one holy Christian church, where we hear the shepherd's voice proclaiming the forgiveness of all our sins. Live in us, O Holy Spirit, and warm our hearts with the fire of Your love. Continue to preserve us in this one true faith by the means You have chosen, our Savior's gospel in word and sacraments. Enable us to present ourselves with all our abilities as thank offerings to Him who sacrificed Himself for us. We also today join with Pastor and Sue Riediger in thanking You, O Lord, for the 30 years of blessings You have given to their marriage. Be with them in the future as You have been in the past. Continue to fill their hearts and their homes with Your love so they may enjoy many more years of Your blessing. Now hear us, Lord, as we bring You our private petitions. Sanctify us in body, mind, and spirit to glorify our Father in heaven and to serve our neighbor here on earth with good works through Jesus Christ our Lord, who has taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Almighty God, we thank you for teaching us the things you want us to believe and do. Help us by your Holy Spirit to keep your word in pure hearts, that we may be strengthened in faith, guided in holiness, and comforted in life and in death. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Brothers and sisters, go now in peace. Live in harmony with one another, and serve the Lord with gladness. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord look on you with favor and give you peace. I thank you all for joining us in worship today as we celebrate this special day of Pentecost and celebrate our ability to come together and worship together once again. A couple of announcements for you. Coming up very soon, June the 8th, Monday, 6:30 p.m. is going to be our examination. Because of the lockdown, everything got pushed back, but June 8th, 6:30 p.m. And then Confirmation Sunday is June 14th during our 9:30 a.m. worship. What we are asking, if you have a connection to those confirmants, please, by all means, come. If you don't, perhaps consider coming to our 8 o'clock service, just to make it so our numbers can stay appropriate for all. We are going to be greeting at the door today, but for at least the next several weeks, I won't be shaking your hand. It's nothing against you. It's intended to keep everybody safe and healthy. So, I'm happy to greet you at the door, but there won't be any handshaking. We also are asking if you have a bulletin, don't return it. We can't reuse it. Take it home with you so that they don't get confused and mixed in. Our offering baskets, you'll notice, were not passed. They are at the end of the pew. Again, to prevent and to cut down on the amount of things that are passed. So if you'd like to place an offering, please put them in the basket on your way out of church today. The last thing is, if you are going to greet and socialize, and I realize it's been a while since you've seen each other, please feel free to do so. But what we ask is, can you please do it outside the building? So head out into the parking lot so that we don't have a lot of people congested in one area where others who maybe are a little more leery about crowds have a harder time passing through. I believe that that's all the announcements that I have. Did I miss anything? Okay. Seeing nothing, God's richest blessings be with you until we see each other again.